is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News. He is a visiting professor of international security at Dickinson College. He's the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. I take him immediately to the table where Russia sits, looking at Belarus, looking at the Baltic states, looking at NATO at Brussels, looking at Kiev in Ukraine, looking at Armenia and Azerbaijan in the South Caucasus, looking in Vienna at the Berlin, Paris, and London representatives with the Vienna talks with the Iranian regime about the suspect nuclear weapons program. All of that, Russia's sitting there. But we go to the sharpest end of the stick, Ukraine. In these last hours, the president of Russia has made statements that include the metaphor red line. Pointing to Ukraine, the emergence of such threats represents a red line for us, said Mr. Putin. I hope that it will not get to that, and common sense and responsibility for their own countries and the global community will eventually prevail. He then pointed to the fact that NATO in Ukraine means that missiles are 5 minutes from Moscow. Jeff, good evening to you. This is our youth, Jeff. This is the Cuban Missile Crisis come again. How do you read Russia's aggression at this point? Because I'm told in Moscow, the television audience says that NATO is the aggressor. Good evening to you, Jeff.
Well, John, good evening to you. And, you know, I'm often think about a comment once made by Winston Churchill, who said Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And as we try to divine what Vladimir Putin is going to do next in the Ukraine, I'm not sure that he knows. But at this moment, it's very clear that he's trying to intimidate the Ukrainians on the one hand. On the other hand, drawing these very clear red lines in hopes of getting the West to negotiate what he wants, which is a legal agreement whereby Ukraine would be deprived of a portion of its sovereignty and not be allowed to join NATO and make that a legal fact. If you will, you could say Finlandize Ukraine from moving farther to the West. This has long been a concern of Russia since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, long been a concern as NATO expanded westward, and they always drew a line at Ukraine being part of, once again, the Soviet Union. And don't forget, John, of course, Putin was the one who said the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest catastrophe of the 21st century. And as late as this past summer, he wrote a long, extended diatribe in which he said Ukraine and Russia really are part of one single country that has been separated by the West. But he's also describing what he sees as provocative acts by the West, not only encouraging Ukraine to move closer to NATO, but Ukrainian military exercises, NATO military exercises in Black Sea as being provocative in a way not unlike what he did prior to the invasion of the Crimea back in 2014, as he set conditions to execute that invasion.
We know from the Cuban Missile Crisis that when once escalation begins, there's no off-ramp. At this point, Jeff, are we underway with escalation between the two sides, NATO and the Russian Federation?
I think we are, and we're seeing escalation occur on the periphery, if you will. You know, in the last 24 hours, there was a meeting in Stockholm of Secretary of State Blinken and Foreign Minister Lavrov of the Russian Federation. But it was interesting to me, right prior to that meeting commencing, the Russians announced that all American diplomats who'd been in Moscow for 3 years or more would be expelled. Hardly an effort that set conditions for that meeting to be productive. It only lasted 30 minutes. Blinken appeared very somber in the aftermath, saying that he had made clear to the Russians there would be serious consequences if, in fact, they did invade the Ukraine. But so far, at least, those were described primarily in terms of economic and political efforts and not in military effort. That being said, the West has talked about more military equipment being provided to the Ukraine, American and other Western advisors in the Ukraine. And we have seen in NATO meetings, which occurred right prior to that meeting in Stockholm, some of the countries in NATO in the East voicing their very clear concern, most notably Latvia, that hosted that meeting, requesting a permanent stationing of American forces on Latvian territory to serve as a deterrent to Russian aggression against Latvia.
In 1962, Khrushchev and the Presidium believed that Kennedy was going to invade Cuba. Kennedy and the XCOM believed that Khrushchev was going to invade Berlin and take hold of it, both sides staring at each other. What's important here is that both sides have agendas. Can you discern what, at this point, NATO's agenda is? What does NATO regard as the best outcome here, Jeff?
I think what NATO regards as the best outcome is certainly to deter a Russian invasion of Ukraine, which would have dramatic effects for already very poor Western-Russian relations, dramatic impacts on U.S. and global economic markets, which are already shaken by the Omicron variant, dramatic effects on energy markets. So avoiding that invasion is number one, while at the same time trying to walk a tightrope from offering membership in NATO to Ukraine, which would obviously tip the red line for the Russians, while showing due respect for the Ukraine. There's no way Mr. Biden is going to have a meeting, I think, with Mr. Putin, as Putin has requested, and in a Chamberlain sort of trip to Munich, negotiate away Ukrainian sovereignty.
Mr. Putin also wanted to know that he's testing a hypersonic cruise missile. Jeff, this looks like the Cold War, is it?
I'm afraid to some degree, very much. We have seen a deterioration of relations between Russia and the West going back to that 2014 invasion of Crimea. There were efforts on the part of the Trump administration, which were, I thought, relatively meaningless, as they were all one-sided, to improve relations. But we've seen a steady effort by the Russians to improve their military, certainly, to certainly dampen down or suppress any type of domestic opposition, the imprisonment of Navalny, in which the West protested but did very little. All of those things, I think, measuring us up to a, if you will, renewal of what looks like, in many ways, a Cold War, a military competition, and pressure on the periphery on by both sides in terms of the areas that they deem are most critical to them.
NATO, is it ready for a Russia aggression? Is it in place to answer?
Certainly, the NATO partners have seemed to have coordinated a lot of meetings about their response and hopefully have a unified response. The Russian belief that a unified response is possible and that it will be severe, at least in economic and political terms, is the best recipe to deter aggression by the Russians. That being said, I do not believe if he were to invade tomorrow that you would see a massive military response by NATO in terms of assisting the Ukrainians. There might be the transfer of additional military hardware. You might see some movement of NATO forces on NATO territory, but I do not think we would see a massive response on the territory of Ukraine of NATO military forces. And I fear Mr. Putin knows that and so believes he may be able to get away with not invading the entirety of the Ukraine. That's too much for him to do, but at least slicing off a portion of that to make the geography between the Donbass and Crimea more logical, give him a land bridge to Crimea, and in doing so, undermine Ukrainian sovereignty and show fissures in the NATO alliance and our inability to respond in a robust fashion.
In 1962, the White House did not know that there were tactical nuclear weapons in control of the forces in Cuba. Can we expect that there are tactical nuclear weapons in that 100,000 deployment in and around Ukraine?
There's no doubt about it that the 100,000 troops that they have there have military hardware, short-range missiles, and even artillery that could deliver short-range tactical nuclear weapons and aircraft as well, would be part of that force. That being said, it's unclear, based on open intelligence, whether the Russians have physically moved weapons from storage sites forward where they have those forces positioned. But it would seem to me unlikely, John, that they would feel a need to use nuclear weapons in any kind of invasion. They know that would be a dramatic step up on the escalatory ladder. However, having those forces there just make that threat a little bit greater because of that possibility.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired. CBS News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.